My name is Joseph Freeman, and you are listening to Gospel Tangents.
It's the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. I'm excited to introduce a history maker, Joseph Freeman. He was the first black man ordained after the 1978 revelation, and we're going to get to know more about him and learn about his life growing up in North Carolina, how he joined the U.S. Army, and was actually a preacher for the Holiness Church. You may think that Mormons are strict, but I think Holiness might be even more strict. So it's going to be a fun conversation. You won't want to miss it. Check it out. Well, welcome to Gospel Tangents. You know, normally I interview historians, but today I'm going to interview a history maker. So can you go ahead and tell us who you are?
Okay. My name is Joseph Freeman. I was born in a small town by the name of Vanceboro in North Carolina. Uh-huh. Grew up in Vanceboro until I was about 14 and then moved to Greensboro. And for Greensboro, that was high school. And I was going to go to college there, but I ended up joining the military.
Okay. And, now, before you get going too far here, I got to ask you a big important question.
Okay.
Duke or North Carolina?
You know, I'm not with any team.
You're not a sports fan?
No.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I love watching them, but you see, I grew up as a wrestler.
Oh, really?
In high school, I wrestled. I only wrestled actually 2 years. I wrestled my junior high year in the ninth grade, and I was a city champion. And then
nice.
I wrestled my senior year of high school, and I had a 14-2 record.
So, wow.
Yeah, so what's too bad?
All right. Well, yeah. I wouldn't want to tangle with you, that's for sure.
That's all right.
All right. So, I've read your book, In the Lord's Due Time. And so let's talk a little bit more about your growing up in North Carolina. So I understand you grew up in the Holiness Church.
Yes, that's
right. Can you tell us a little bit more? I actually served my mission in South Carolina, so I'm a little bit familiar with it. But I think most people, especially in Utah, probably aren't that familiar with the Holiness Church.
That's right. Holiness is, I guess, a faith that some call themselves Pentecostal and others would call themselves Holiness. They both are very similar. And then you could stretch it a little bit more and you could say the Southern Baptists are very similar because these groups of people, they like to say hallelujah and praise the Lord. They pat their feet and clap their hand, and when the minister begins to preach, he gets into it quite a bit, and everybody will be saying amen the whole time he's talking. You know, for Mormons, we would think that's irreverent. But it's their way of worshiping and praising God. Yeah.
Well, and I know when I read your book, it said that in a lot of ways, it was similar to LDS in the fact that there was no alcohol.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I think that the thing that surprised me most was the no dancing.
Oh, yes. Yes. Now, and you know, that varies depending on where you live. But generally, the true holiness, the women don't like to wear lipstick. They don't like short dresses or anything revealing. And dancing, a lot of the people prefer that you don't dance. And, you know, this is kind of hard for young people because, you know, kids like to go dancing and so forth. But one of the things that happens is that the Holiness Church is sometimes say, well, we don't even like you to play sports very much.
Really?
Yeah. And
that's blasphemy, isn't it?
Well, I tell you one of the reasons. There is no doctrine in it because, you know, you can't find anything about that in the Bible, about dancing or playing sports. But the belief is this. I was told by a minister one time, he said, well, if you get into sports, what is your association with people? You end up going to, you know, you become wealthy, number one, and then your lifestyle changes. Most sports people are not going to church, because they are associating with people that drink, smoke, and live all kinds of terrible life, you know, kind of chasing women if you're a man, or the opposite if you're a woman. So what does it do? It draws you away from church into the world. So that is probably the biggest reason that holiness are against dancing and socializing like that.
Hmm. So becoming a Mormon was like liberal then, is that right?
Oh, a little bit. You know, I still have two left feet, and my wife lets me know that all the time when we dance.
That's funny.
So
but, and I believe, I'm trying to remember, I read your book so long ago, yeah, but I tried to refresh my memory on a few things. So they have like youth preachers, is that right?
Oh, yes.
And did you do something like that?
Yes. Well, I'll say it like this. When I became, first, number one, my grandfather was a minister, a Baptist minister. And then my mother was a minister in the Holiness Church and all her life until she died. I became a minister when I was about 18 years old. And all my life, since I can remember, 3-4 years old, I had the desire to be a minister. Because just the style of worship, there's something about preaching the gospel that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. To touch the lives of people in a special way and to feel the spirit of the Lord. You know, there's people that, I guess in our church, sometimes a lot of them will shy away from giving talks and they just feel like they don't want to do it. But for people like myself, there is something very special about preaching the gospel. And it comes because you've got to prepare yourself, number one, spiritually, to be able to do it. And then two, once you are prepared and you're in the process of doing it, you feel the Spirit. And there's nothing better than to be able to feel the Spirit of the Lord when you're actually in the process of giving a talk. And so that is just a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So you probably knew your Bible really well, I'm guessing.
I love reading the Bible, the Book of Mormon. I don't say that I know it really well. I think since I lost my hair, I forget half the stuff that I read. but no, I love the gospel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you joined the army, wasn't it?
Yes.
And then
I left home.
Yes. So how did you end up in Hawaii? That sounds like that was a pretty tough assignment.
Well, you know, Vietnam was going on during this time. And I thought that I was going to go straight to Vietnam. But when I got to Fort Jackson, South Carolina, after we went through the testing and everything and they were going to swear us in, they set us down and said, well, where would you like to be stationed? And a guy began to name off all the places, you know, Germany, Korea, stateside. And then he said, Hawaii. Well, I remember one of the wrestlers, I think it was Sam Steamboat, seeing him wrestle in Hawaii. And just over the TV. And I thought, I'd love to go there, to Hawaii. That would be wonderful. I hadn't thought about it, but my brother had been to Hawaii also. When he returned from Vietnam, I think he spent like maybe 6 months in Hawaii. And so I said, you know, I'd like to go there. And they said, okay, you can go.
You're kidding me.
So they wrote me down, and Vietnam was closing down. That was 72. They were still sending troops, but they weren't there that long. They'd go and come back. And so most of the guys that's even signed up for Vietnam ended up in Hawaii with me.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
So was that like a staging area to go to Vietnam for later?
I think so. Well, you see, Hawaii gives you jungle training. Uh-huh. So most people don't know that, but up in the military owns a lot of land in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And there's areas that are part of Schofield Barracks that's just like Vietnam. Everything is growing, it's green, and it rains all the time. And then there's mountain training in Hawaii. People never see. And up in the top of the mountains, it rains almost every night. You got mongoose and, you know, other critters up there to deal with. I can remember some of the training we had where we had to cross a river. And you go up on, I can't think of the name of it now, but on a cable on one side of the river, and you put up on a little pulley, hook it up, and then roll down across that cable across the river, and they drop you on the other side in the water just before you get to the shore. And that's a thrilling kind of ride.
I bet it is.
because you're thinking the whole time, you know, I cannot turn loose and I want to fall in this water. I'm way up there. I mean, you look down and the people are pretty small on the other side, but you get on that thing and go, and you get to the bottom and it's just like a, you know, not a roller coaster, but like a car, you know, that's speeding. And the guy was like, raise your feet. And you lift your feet up and you drop and you just glide right across the water.
Wow.
But that type of training, you have night training, driving vehicles at night. And sometimes I can remember driving around the roads with a deuce and a half, it's a 2.5-ton truck. And one of your wheels is off the side of the road, hanging off the cliff. It's that tight.
Wow.
So you got to learn to drive and get rid of your fear, you know, and drive at night without lights. Yeah, with no lights on. Yeah. You just see just a little red dot in front of you, the vehicle that's in front of you, and that's what you fall on. And you better not fall off that mountain.
Yeah, no kidding. That sounds pretty scary.
But every now and then, somebody does.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think that would be pretty dangerous.
Oh, yes. I went out with a recon platoon one time. And we had a vehicle, it had been raining. And when they went around this curb, their vehicle couldn't stay on the road. It was in the four-wheel drive, but it was a Jeep. And they've got rid of those Jeeps nowadays. But as he went around, the Jeep started sliding. And even though he was trying to pull it back the other way, it continued to slide downhill and finally went off a cliff. And before it went off, I think it flipped over like three times. The guys were thrown out. One guy that stayed in the Jeep, he was in the middle, and there were two guys on the outside of him. They went out really quick. He stayed in, and the Jeep went over and over with him. And I think he got like three ribs broken, but he lived.
Wow.
And the Jeep went down this ravine about 120 feet. So the next day, I was able to go out with recon platoon and help excavate that Jeep. But we didn't actually take it out. They brought in a helicopter and lifted it up, took it back out.
Wow.
So,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
I bet you have quite some stories there.
Oh, not too many, because my job was different than most people. I had a very special job while I was there. I took, for some reason, I believe God blessed me. That was the whole thing. Instead of working with everybody else, after a few months, I was chosen to be a dog handler. And so I took care of our unit mascot, which was a wolfhound dog. Mm-hmm. And then they gave me a second job of running a gymnasium. So in our battalion, we had three battalions in the quad. It was like not a circle of buildings, but they were square. And in that quad of buildings, we had the gym. And I managed the gym, getting equipment in and out, checking out, basketballs and nets, volleyball. We had karate taught in there, boxing and weightlifting. And it was just a nice place. Nice. I think I had the best gym on the base other than the post gym. Because I had a different way of doing things. I would trade equipment. I didn't wait for it, because you order something, it's supposed to take, 30 days to 90 days, and it never comes. So I'd just get in my car and go over to the Navy base and trade something that somebody needed. I didn't trade with the Marines. That was the only base I didn't work with. But the Navy and Air Force, I was able to work with them really well. Oh, wow. And so we kept our gym supplied and gave them whatever they needed. So, yeah.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Joseph Freeman. In our next conversation, we'll talk about his visit to the Polynesian Cultural Center in Hawaii. Mormons didn't look the way he expected.
Now here I was at a culture center and I met Mormon people. I was thinking that Mormons wore these tall black hats, looked like the Amish and looked like Brigham Young, because I checked out a book when I was in high school about Mormons, and it talked about Brigham Young as being a great colonizer. And I knew just a little bit about the Amish people and Mennonites, and they still look like the picture of Brigham Young. So I was expecting Mormons to look like that, but there were no horses and buggies out there, just a few Cadillacs in the parking lot, and everybody looked like everyone else.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, sign up at patreon.com/gospeltangents, and for $5 a month, you can hear the entire interview without any interruptions. If you'd like to see the whole video, that's just $8 a month, and you can sign up either at youtube.com/gospeltangents or on our website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button, or you can go to patreon.com/gospeltangents, and I'll just need to make sure that we're Facebook friends, and I'll add you to our insiders group, and you can see the entire interview uncut. If you'd like to get PDF transcripts of our interviews, those are just $10 a month. And for just $15 a month, I will send you paperback versions of our transcripts as soon as they come out. Or, of course, you can buy them on Amazon as well. Go to amazon.com and do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can see all of our transcripts there. Don't forget to sign up for our updates at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Of course, you can follow us at Gospel Tangents on Twitter. To hear our interviews updated to your podcast player, go to tinyurl.com/gospeltangents and make sure you give us a 5-star review. And of course, you should show your support for Gospel Tangents with one of these cool t-shirts, like this green one, or light blue, sport gray, royal blue, purple, of course black, beautiful gold, and of course Utah red. I've probably left out some colors, but if you want to see more, go to gospeltangents.com/shop and you can get one of these. So once again, thanks for listening. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some more of our great videos. Thanks again.